Oliver Chapman, thank you to be with us today.
Merci, it's a pleasure to be with you, Didier.
You're the CEO of and founder and CEO of OCI. What is the main activity for OCI?
OCI is a procurement partner for large organizations around the world. We support them with everything to do with purchasing, structuring the sourcing of goods, providing logistics, and also injecting financing where required into the supply chain.
We have seen during the many the last years and the last 2 years, we can say we have seen the importance of supply chain with the COVID situation. How is the supply chain in 2023? Is it back to the normal, or there is again a lot of perturbation?
A supply chain is very much an interesting one at the moment, Didier. Now, obviously, actually, supply chain it was not just disruptive through the start of COVID. Supply chains were disrupted when Donald Trump, first of all, made his trade tariffs with exports from China. That situation was made worse by, of course, the COVID pandemic around the world and wreaked havoc throughout the shipping and logistics industry. Are we back to where we were? No, I don't think we are. Will we ever be back to where we were? I don't think so either. The supply chain has taken a massive shock, and organizations have changed the way they purchase things nowadays. And so their supply chain is ever adapting to that new way of doing things.
If we are talking about this subject, is that it's very important for the economy. We have seen some big company like Apple thinking about moving and move. But what you have seen you in your activity, do you have seen some sector moving, some company moving really? Move from China to other country, move from what kind of movement you have seen during the past few months?
Well, it's a fascinating topic. After the jolt through the supply chain with regards to COVID, OCI worked with a lot of organizations on reevaluating their supply chain. And how does a reevaluation of a supply chain work? It's about hedging your supply chain, hedging your country origin risk. So if organizations were previously buying from China, should they now buy from India or maybe Mexico, and perhaps even a more expensive but very robust European city? And it's these types of changes which are really altering the way the supply chain operates today.
Mondialization was an evidence few years ago, and an evidence maybe do you think we forgot risk about the mondialization? It means if we concentrate on the country, on area, COVID just show us that there are a lot of risk, but we forgot the risk, in fact.
Yeah, I think we took the supply chain for granted, and also just to point on the topic you did just mention, companies now like Foxconn, very well established, very well deep-rooted organizations, are now opening offices and manufacturing sites in places like India. This is all about hedging the supply chain now. So should, there be another pandemic? Should there be some political situation or a war which was unforeseen? It's essential for organizations to make sure that they have hedged or not having all your eggs in one basket, as they may say. And I think this is the future of supply chains now. And the impact of these changes will be quite severe for some time to come.
We were, if it was a few years ago, maybe if we were together a few years ago, we didn't hear a lot of people talking about India or other country than China. China was the market. Industry was from China. Now with India, with the rising population in India, we have to think maybe different is what you say today, is that we have to check, we have to maybe to move for some company in India, and how we will do that.
Yeah, India is a quite a fascinating topic, actually. So yes, there's an aging population in China. There's a decreasing population in China. There's an increasing population in India. And there is a low age population in India. However, India is not a straightforward solution, albeit a very, very good manufacturing, stable in some ways, an excellent country to create, manufacture, and produce goods. However, India lacks a certain something, and it lacks the infrastructure. It lacks the efficiency of the Chinese workforce. So whilst we see India as this emerging country which is looking to take over the manufacturing world, and don't get me wrong, India is a fantastic manufacturing nation, it is not the perfect solution to the Chinese change. So the way I see large corporates hedging their production capabilities, I do not believe that India will fully take over China, although it's certainly got China on its toes at the moment.
We have seen some project in about the United Nations Population Fund who mentioned other countries than India, and we can see Congo, or there is a conflict now, Egypt, Ethiopia, other countries. How, if I am a CEO of a company, I can decide to go in some of those countries because there are other risks too?
Yeah. I mean, the emerging markets for sure are countries where they are ripe for doing business in. Actually, by 2050, the emerging markets such as Ethiopia, Egypt, India, Pakistan, and Nigeria will make up for 50% of the population growth around the world. Are they countries where organizations will want to start investing their finances and funding into to expand their corporates? Maybe. But again, we get back down to that infrastructure situation and, of course, difficulties with corruption and challenges that they would face whilst growing their businesses there. Fundamentally, for an organization to be successful, it must have a robust supply chain. And if they want to invest in countries where there is some uncertainty on how they do their business, shall we say, or how a manufacturing plant can actually export its products, then they should always consider whether those emerging markets are really the right place to do that.
As we know, or maybe if some people didn't know, but you know very well this fact, it takes time to move supply chain. It's not just to do that and the supply chain come from France to UK and other country. It takes time. So it's very important to do the right movement. How you can help, and how this can be for a company the good choice?
Yeah, supply chains are very fragile, actually. Very fragile, whilst interesting of being very resilient. Now, the reason I say they're fragile is because organizations don't want to buy goods from new suppliers. If you take a hospital group in the USA, they've been, say, working with a Chinese manufacturer of kits that they buy. Maybe they've been buying for the last 20 or 30 years, okay? Do they want to buy from a new organization? No, they trust this organization. They trust the quality, the control, everything is in place, the regulations, the licenses are in place. Under the COVID situation, organizations were forced to change. And this is normally quite a challenging thing to do. So they are robust, they're resilient to change. However, they are fragile. And I think now supply chains are changing. And you may have USA now buying from India, more products from India, less products from China. And you've got countries like the USA looking to now buy from more robust and resilient suppliers like Poland, like other European countries. Once that infrastructure is then rigid again, it may take something like COVID to actually change that. And so I think that the supply chain is, as I explained, it can be quite fragile, but robust at the same time.
Nobody can maybe think about it. It was, for example, for France and other countries, we have seen that we miss drugs. It's very important for us, so we can miss drugs, semiconductor, okay, for automotive. So we see some sectors forgot their products, to not sell their products because of they're missing product. How this can be avoided? Some people are thinking to have more drugs company in Europe. You mentioned Poland. Maybe some automotive. There is thinking about semiconductors. But how it will be possible, because the costs are not the same?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned there semiconductors, Didier. Semiconductors, there's a huge, huge drive now for manufacturing of semiconductors in India and also Pakistan. So the world has felt the shock of the chip shortages coming from China and Far East Asia. And simple business owners, entrepreneurs, successful men and women around the world are capitalizing on this opportunity for semiconductors. And I believe the same will be happening in Europe as well. And in the future, we will see the supply chain looking a lot different to how it has been over the past few years, with China being the main supplier of these products. We will think that, oh, well, maybe it makes sense to buy your, you know, if you're based in France, well, why not buy your semiconductors from this fantastic company in Germany, or Arm in the UK, either of these types of businesses? Why not look locally, where you can be sure about your supplies, you're on top of the regulations and understanding where the political risks sit? And I think that makes for a more robust supply chain. Again,
do you think we will see a new mondialization, or some people are talking end of mondialization? Is it a different mondialization? What is
I think it is a nouveau modernization. I think the world is ever adapting and changing, and you've always got to remember, you know, what are we talking about here? We're talking about business owners, individual people like myself, but say in manufacturing. And they're deciding that they can see an opportunity in the market. You know, you have a successful Indian businessman or woman, you know, and they decide that they are feeling the pinch from the semiconductors in China. So why not form a semiconductor manufacturing plant in India? Same goes for Poland. Poland has a great wealth of education, knowledge, and expertise across a wide range of different subjects. Very educated people here in Europe. And entrepreneurial. And then I think that the modernization will evolve and change, and actually only for the better. I think having a wider spread of suppliers of products, which can help organizations around the world manage their supply chains in a more effective manner, it is only a beneficial thing. And it's certainly not the end of modernization. It is just modernization 3.0.
Thank you very much, Oliver Chapman, to have been with us today talking about the new mondialization.
Merci, Didier. Absolute pleasure, anytime.
Thank you.